get wings to fly. Oh, I'm alive.
Hello again and welcome. We are alive this morning. We are living. It is a beautiful day and it is time for the Nazarene Gordon Radio Show. Let's live. And we are living this morning with something fantastic, a very interesting subject dear to all of us. And we begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This morning, we are living with happiness. Happiness. Are you happy? Yes. Are you truly happy? No. Why not? Who is responsible for your happiness? Well, that's how we are living this morning. The Nazarene Gordon Radio Show, Let's Live. This show is to encourage you to love, to have hope, to trust, to be at peace, to have joy, to be inspired, to be free, to be kind, and to live. And on this show, we are going to get a top up. Those of us who've got some happiness that is dwindling or somewhere on the surface. Those of us without happiness, we are getting a full dose this morning. And to help us walk through this happiness issue, fostering a positive mental attitude, taking responsibility for what one thinks, says, and does, is Dr. Janet Taylor. She is also giving us food for thought through her inspirational sessions. And Dr. Taylor, it is good to have you. Welcome to the Nazarene Gordon Radio Show.
Well, thank you ever so much. In fact, I want to gather all those in listening land to put a smile on your face, because we're going to be changing some energy this morning for the highest good. So get ready.
Tell us a little bit about yourself and the work you do in relation to a subject as happiness.
I'd be more than happy to do that. A doctor of chiropractic is a rather unique individual in that they need to study the human body as well as how that body functions through the mental capacity for 8 years, just like a medical doctor. So as a U.S. board certified doctor of chiropractic, I've had 8 years of education. That where we study much of what the medical profession studies, except we don't use drugs and we don't use surgery. We feel that the body has an innate, inborn intelligence that regulates it to a point of always striving to be healthy. However, that cannot happen if the nerves are not functioning properly. So the specific focus of a doctor of chiropractic is the nervous system. Our nervous system is the master control system. It runs everything, not only our body, but our thoughts. Our mind is made up of many vibrations of electrical currents. And our spiritual relationship is also dependent on a fully functioning nervous system. So I find that the work I do is invaluable for humans to be able to function at the highest level of their potential, whether it's physical, emotional, mental, spiritual, chemical. All of these must work together in a balanced way in order for us to be happy.
Oh, great.
Therefore, not only do I work physically, but I work emotionally with people not necessarily counseling. I'm not a counselor, but I have watched the human experience unfold under my hands, with my hands, because I've been in practice 40 years. And my hands are always on people, realigning their bones, getting their nervous system working and functioning properly, and then all the other holistic care that I have taken upon myself to study, and that would be diet and nutrition, exercise, fitness, stress management, herbology, reflexology, yoga, meditation, prayer, all of those things. I have just taken it upon myself to study because I know that we are a multidimensional being. And I wanted to know. I've always wanted to know how all that works together.
So how does happiness fit into the human makeup and the human development and how we live and remain healthy?
Very good question. Here is the crux of it. If the electrical current of your body is not flowing unobstructed through your living being, then somewhere there is going to be a dysfunction and you cannot be totally happy. Whether it is a physical happiness where your body feels healthy and strong and does not manifest disease processes, or whether it is a mind that is peaceful, thoughts that can flow from a very firm foundation of high standards. All of this depends on a nervous system that is functioning at its highest ability. So when people come to me and say, I'm just so conflicted and I really don't like what's happening at work, the first thing I say to them is, let's get that nervous system functioning properly. And from there, your heart, your mind, your body can make a decision that is going to be the best for you, because it all starts with the nerves. You will have a better family life if your nervous system is working properly. You will be a better employee if your nervous system is working properly. You will be happier if it's working properly. You'll be able to enjoy what life offers you, and you'll be able to create a life that is much happier when your nervous system is working properly. So it all goes back to that.
So what for you is happiness?
Well, that is a big one, because there are, of course, many definitions of happiness that talk about what it is not. Okay? Mm-hmm. And what I like to say is happiness is the fullest expression and appreciation of the love and joy of who we are.
The fullest expression of the love and joy of who we are.
That is it.
How does one begin to be happy?
Well, I do feel that when a child is born, they are innocent happiness. There are only two fears that a child is born with. One is the fear of falling, and the other is the fear of loud noises. That's the only fear a child has. All of the rest of the things that happen to us that seem to impact our happiness in a negative way are things that we learn from the people around us. So actually, happiness begins from the moment that we are conceived and how our mother carries us. If she is a very depressed and worried and an anxious individual eating a lot of junk foods and smoking and drinking, all of that is going to impact how that child sees the world when they're born.
So if the things that make us unhappy are learned, can we unlearn the things that make us unhappy and learn the things that make us happy?
Well, absolutely. That's the beauty of it. Of course, that's a long process for most of us, because we will oftentimes emulate the attitudes and thoughts of the people who raise us. So if we're with someone who is loving and compassionate and kind, and you know, right now I just got a picture in my mind of the movie The Help. I'm sure many of you have seen it. And I remember the little blonde girl who was a little chubby. And her mother just was almost ignoring her. And the wonderful nurse housekeeper, all of those rolled into one, kept saying to her, I'm beautiful and I'm valuable. It was that input that the child needed most because she was being devalued and the people around her were not seeing that except the woman who was caring for her.
So this emphasizes part of our subject matter this morning, fostering a positive mental attitude. This is the work that we have to do for ourselves.
Well, actually, we do. Now, as a child, we don't necessarily know that because we don't have experience and knowledge in great degrees as we do as we mature and go through life. So we can unlearn negative attitudes and relearn positive, happy attitudes. It takes time to do that, but you know, after a while, when you've been beat up, beat down,
yes.
and go for counseling or reach out to get help, something will click, we hope. Sometimes, unfortunately, it does not. Mm-hmm. And people can never say that they've been a generally happy individual. Those are the lost ones, as I call them. And all you can do for them is to love them unconditionally if they don't get it. But yes, it is a process to learn. We have to work on it on a regular basis. But there's certain things that we can have in place that will help it become more of a habit and easier.
So it can become a lifestyle.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And so we can create the atmosphere in our spaces at work, at home. Help us with that.
Yes. For instance, one of the things that I have in my home is what I call my wow, W-O-W, wall. It's a wow wall. It is made up of many shelves, and on those shelves are small reminders of the places I've been and the people that love me. And they're just little things sitting on those shelves. I also have it very colorful on the backside. The wall that those are up against. So if I find myself in a situation where I am worried, if I'm fearful, if I'm doubtful, I can walk into that room and I can look at that wall and see those reminders of the amazing times that I have been blessed mm-hmm. in life and the amazing people that love me. And eventually I can say, wow, you know, I think this little worry that I'm having right now is pretty small compared to all of this legacy that I have on this wall.
So it does not happen automatically. And I hear you, when you started, I'm saying, she's not concerned about those who do not love her. Your wall is about those who love you, those who care for you, the happy moments. So put aside the negative ones, put aside what is not working for you, and focus on the positive.
You have to, because life is filled with so much impact and stimulus that is false information and also negative, that it's your responsibility to make a choice every moment to stay positive, to keep your energy high. Now, you can't do that if you're sick physically and if you're sick emotionally, because the mind and the body are one, so they kind of reflect on each other. So if you're feeling sick in your body, you can pretty much know that you've got some areas of your mind that aren't working very well either.
So both are connected.
Absolutely. Yes. And then you have to look at your spiritual life as well. Do you have a connection with a higher power? Because studies have shown that those that have a connection with a higher power, and you know, I realize that this is Catholic radio, but there are others out there that may be listening at this point in time who follow a name that may not be the same as those listening this morning through the Catholic Church. But they have a higher power that they feel is a living, breathing entity in their life that gives them hope and something to reach for above who they are in this earthly existence.
So your spiritual, your physical, and your mental attitude, it's a holistic approach and attitude towards reaching that happiness goal.
Absolutely. And this study showed that those that have a higher power are much happier in life, and they are able to face the challenges that happen to us, because life is put there to teach us. I call this the greatest educational experience of the human race is living, because yes. You're always going to be challenged. And, you know, that's happening right now on Dominica. There's a lot of challenges going on, a lot of people who are expressing a great deal of negativity and upset and concern. And I'm not saying that's bad and wrong. That's part of being human. But my question is, what can you as an individual do to put more positivity into this situation in a way that does not create more anger and evil?
Yes.
You know, you look at the word live, and this is in your
show. It's Let's Live.
Let's Live. This is the name of your show. Take that word live, and when you read it backwards, what does it spell?
Never thought of it.
I-L. When you live life backwards, that is evil. Living life backwards means that you don't have a higher power. You are not a happy camper. You know, everything is horrible. You know, you don't have friends. If you do have friends, they're just as miserable as you. That's living life backwards. That is evil. And then
let's live.
All of these horrendous situations that we hear about and that we're experiencing right now come to the surface because it's living life backwards.
Now, and before I continue, if you want to join us in the program, you call 440-7984, 440-7984. Now, Dr. Taylor, life is not always a happy moment. It's not just a happy path. You've got highs, you've got lows, ups and downs. If we go with the rhythm of life, does that make it easier? Does this make us happier?
It depends. If you are a person who is unconscious and unaware of the fact that we are responsible for our thoughts, our words, and our deeds, then probably it's going to be a pretty bumpy ride. But if you are someone who is waking up to the fact that you have some power here, you have a power to choose, that you can't afford the luxury of a negative thought, then you will find that those situations that come to you that you have labeled negative or challenging are there for a distinct purpose, to help us become stronger and to grow, especially into more compassion for those that don't understand those lessons, and that we can be an inspiration for those that don't understand those lessons. It's a tricky yes, path.
Yes. We've learned that we are responsible for our happiness. Only you are responsible for your happiness. Now, what I hear you saying is that we are responsible for our thoughts, our actions, and when we choose the right thoughts and actions and the positive ones, we are creating that happiness that we so desire.
That's very well put. And you can feel it in your body. You can feel when your body is happy. But again, some people cannot, because I call them asleep.
Wake us up, Dr. Taylor. How can we wake up?
Well, that's a choice that comes with each individual. Part of this program is a way to maybe have one sentence or a phrase that a person hears, turn that key for them and have another part of them wake up. It's a process. It is a physical, mental, emotional, chemical, spiritual process of waking up. And you know it because It's an exceptional lightness of being that happens. You feel it. It feels as if you're almost lifting off and your body isn't so heavy. And you have a bubble inside of you that's filled with glee and joy. People see you and go, wow, you're radiant. I do hear this a lot from people when they're in my space. Or one lady said to me, well, you must be in love because you're just glowing. You know, who is he? And I said, there's no he. It's the love inside. Yes.
The divine master.
Exactly. It's something that is inside of me because of my deep spiritual understanding. And that's where the love has to come from. No one can make you happy.
So it begins with loving yourself.
Absolutely.
Being at peace with yourself and making the right choices.
That's exactly it. And, of course, that's a big menu for us to have to choose from on a regular basis. Unfortunately, our society is geared for the opposite of that. I mean, just take a look at our marketing processes that happen on an everyday basis. Oh, you'll be happy when you get that new car. Or, you know, your happiness begins when you drink a Coke. Oh, that's the one that really disturbs me. Because what has happened is we get programmed, and so do our caregivers, that happiness is outside of ourselves.
Yes.
And so we just get one more dress, or we just get one more pair of shoes, or we get that car that's blue, or we have another diamond ring, we have another
bigger
piece
house
of property or whatever. Yes.
And happiness comes from within.
It does, and there's nothing wrong with having those things. But they are not what our happiness comes from.
Because you could have all these things, and if you do not have that happiness within, you'll still be unhappy and searching for more things.
I think about some of the richest people, and when we really hear their stories, they're very tragic. Mm-hmm. They're very tormented individuals, people who feel empty, and they have everything as far as we can see. But they don't have themselves. They don't love themselves. They never got the fact that love is who we are.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about being happy with yourself first.
Sure.
Because this is one of the starting points. How does one get happy with himself or herself?
Again, that's a long process, and it's a lot of failure that one has to go through to find that, and some never do. Some of us are born with more of a motivation to seek that out. Some of us rely on people around us to help us with that. Some of us go for special training or classes or counseling to find that. So there's many different ways to do it. Many times we're so bombarded with all of these choices that the world gives us that we forget to be with ourselves and to just be alone with us. You know, I tried something very interesting many, many years ago. I was living on a farm, and I had several acres around me, and I took a blanket one afternoon. It was a gorgeous sunny day, much like it is today on Dominica. And I didn't take a phone, and I told my children I did not want to be disturbed. And I went out and found a little section on the grass, and I laid that blanket down, and I just sat there. I didn't bring a book with me or anything.
I can picture that moment.
And I just looked around. And pretty soon I started noticing the exquisite color of the different grass and weeds that were around my blanket. And then I started noticing that my breathing was taking in all of this fresh air. And sometimes when the breeze would come by, I would smell a different aroma. And then I started noticing the movement of the insects around me. Well, I sat there for 1 hour. And at the end of the hour, I was in such ecstasy. I had tears streaming down my face because I felt totally at one with all of life. And I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that I was loved. So I suggest that people try that. We have here on Dominica some of the most richest, beautiful land and terrain that we can do that with.
Love ourselves, be at peace with ourselves, find a moment with ourselves. And nothing wrong with being quiet for a while or being with yourself.
Yes, putting those cell phones down and the texting and all of that.
This is different from being lonely.
Big difference.
Yes.
Big difference, because loneliness is part of a fear process. Being alone is part of a very compassionate and peaceful process. Big difference. You know, I like to look at fear as an acronym with a period after each one of the letters. F-E-A-R. That is false evidence appearing real. That's all that fear is. It's false evidence that appears real. And we believe it strongly enough that we bring it into our life in a very powerful way. Mm-hmm. Because we can do that. We can fear something so much that it happens to us. So on the opposite of that spectrum is love. Love is the greatest power. That was already said in the scriptures. And even Christ said, love yourself as I have loved you, and love one another as I have loved you. Mm-hmm. Because he had unconditional love. He had no judgments. He was an authentic, realized human being. Now, he was also the Christ, which meant that he had very divine connections, obviously, but in the physical form of Jesus, he was awake. He was a realized person, and he knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that love was who he is. So he could love unconditionally.
And even Jesus took time out to be alone.
Absolutely, and was not afraid of that because he and his Father were one.
Yes.
And he knew that. When you know that beyond a shadow of a doubt, I mean, the rest is so easy. But we forget, because this world is what I call a training ground, you know. Once you graduate from kindergarten, then you get the elementary tests. And then once you graduate from the elementary, you go to the high school test.
And it keeps going on and on.
Yes. As we polish our pearl, as we realize that, this thing called love has nothing to do with much of what we think it is because of Hollywood and much of our media.
We'll talk a little bit more about that, because the perception that we have of what happiness is out there, we have these thoughts that the things that we tell ourselves, and we create this stress and we create this false impression, and this erodes our happiness. You're listening to the Nazarene God Radio Show, Let's Live. And how are we living? We are living by fostering a positive mental attitude, taking responsibility for what we think, what we say, and what we do. Our guest is Dr. Janet Taylor, and she is a doctor of chiropractic, and it's a good time to remind you of a few verses of scripture which talks about happiness. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. Psalm 144, verse 15. Another one, happy is the man who is corrected by God. It is proof of our legitimacy as sons and daughters. Happy is the man who cares for the poor. Happy is he who loves God more than money, power, prestige, or the praises of men. Happy is the servant whom the master finds doing as he was told when the master returns. Are you truly happy? If not, why? We are helping you to live and be happy on the Nazarene Garden Radio Show, Let's Live.
I get wings to fly. So here is another verse from Proverbs 17, verse 22. A joyful heart is good medicine. And I particularly like that one because of being in the healthcare realm. We've also got studies now that prove that nurturing your heart has a great deal to do with how you nurture your parasympathetic nervous system. Nature is one way to do that. Trusting relationships is another way. Mm-hmm. There's great, in fact, I do a whole workshop on that. And the second one is John 15, verse 11. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full.
Fantastic. We are overflowing with happiness this morning. If you need a top up, this is the place to be. If you need a full vessel, this is the place to be. If you just want to maintain what you've already got, this is the place to be. We are talking happiness with Dr. Janet Taylor. I'm alive. You've set the heart on fire. Dr. Taylor, because you've said it does not come naturally, sometimes we've got to create the atmosphere. Walk us through some steps we can do in our own spaces. You mentioned you took the blanket and you just went out on the farm in the open field. This is something that you can do, the sunset, the sunrise, or at home. Give us some ideas how we can create that space so that we can connect with ourselves to find some happiness, true happiness.
Well, one of the easiest things that I do on a regular basis is my gratefuls. When I arise in the morning, one of the first things that comes out of my mouth is, I am grateful for my life. Oftentimes, we forget to be grateful, to be thankful for all of the blessings that surround us. So I make sure that I have certain routines that I do on a daily basis, and one of those is at least 10 things that I am grateful for every day. And many times they're somewhat the same, but I try not to repeat them. I try to vary it and find something.
Do you keep a gratitude journal?
I used to, and now, it's just kind of part of my lifestyle, and it comes naturally. And, of course, I'm grateful to be here this morning. Another thing that I do on a daily
basis. I'm grateful that you're here.
Another thing that I do on a daily basis is laugh, because as it said, laughter is good medicine,
yes.
And that's what brings more joy into our life. Mm-hmm. Sometimes when we can look at some of the things that we've done and laugh at ourselves, it is an extremely healthy position to be in.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want people to think that, the first part of this program was pretty serious, getting into all these little nooks and crannies, but laughter is a big part of my life, and therefore watching funny things on TV, listening to comedy and humor, reading funny things is very helpful as well. Another thing that I do is 10 techniques that I put together from different sources to make sure that I'm balancing my physical, emotional, spiritual, and chemical. In fact, I made a CD of this, a DVD, and I filmed it on 4 different places of Dominica as I'm showing these very simple techniques to do, because physically I want my body to be strong and energetic. And as we become elders, it's very important that we do that. We have much wisdom to give, and if we don't keep our energy and our body healthy and strong, much of that is lost. So I do that. Another thing is eating right. If you're eating a lot of junk foods and your body gets clogged and filled with a lot of preservatives and artificial colors and can't function and keep you in a state of health and good movement, then that's going to be a problem. So,
and you're not alert, you're grumpy.
Foods cause moods, and sometimes when people come to me and they're having a very difficult time in their life, we find out after we adjust them and after their nervous system starts working properly that it's their foods that they have to look at, and they have to change some things because they are causing an imbalance in their body. So diet is very important to be happy as well. And I'm very careful about that with myself. Another thing is to get out in nature, obviously. We mentioned that before. To just look up and see the stars at night or notice the full moon. And again, just look around and be aware of the beauty. Sometimes looking at a person's face and just appreciating that that person is there with you, alive, and your friend or your family member, and looking at the beauty of the parts of their face. I mean, there's many different things you can do.
These are things we take for granted.
Very much so. Yeah. I was once in a workshop where they ask you to find a partner, and then you were supposed to talk to that person about something that really excited you for 1 minute. And then when we were done, we had to turn our backs to each other. And then the person who was facilitating the workshop said, "All right, now we've got 4 questions for you to fill out about that individual." And so you're thinking, "Oh boy, I hope I remember everything that they said." And the first question was, what color was that person's eyes? And you know, a lot of people didn't get that right because they weren't paying attention to that person's face. So I learned something from that.
Because sometimes you find that someone is having a conversation, but you're not looking at the person. The person is not looking, is not present.
This is a very good point.
Because you're not present, the conversation might, the eyes might be elsewhere, but this is the moment. This is the moment when I should appreciate that you are there to have a conversation with me, either to advise me or just to have a fun moment. Yes. So I should be in that moment with you and notice everything about you.
Absolutely. And see, this is why I keep telling people, we may be connecting more with Facebook and Twitter and all of our Android phones, but we're really communicating less because we don't have that person in front of us many times. Now, don't get me wrong. I love those because it's a way for me to bring the world to me. I have many friends, as many people do here, all over the world. But it isn't the same as true communication. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because right now I'm looking at your eyes, you're looking at my eyes, you're in front of me. I've noticed things about you that I think are special. And this moment will always be in my mind because of that.
Thank you.
But if we were on a phone communicating, I would not have that presence of you with me. Yeah. And that brings me great happiness because I have my hands on people all the time as I'm adjusting them and you know, getting their muscles and their bones and their joints and especially their nerves clear. So I'm always with that person, and I have worked on a presence about that so that my patients feel that they are loved and that I'm there with them and that I have boundaries about how I touch them and express the love of who they are by having it show up in me.
Great, great. So we need to be more present, in the present, in the now.
Correct.
In the now.
It's all that we've got. And then the moment is gone, and then we have another now.
Yes.
And then the moment is gone, and we have another now. So it's these moments, these very brief moments in the now, that are extremely important for fostering your happiness and your presence of joy and positivity in the world.
Earlier on, we were also speaking about creating special moments with the people you love and your family members, even if it's a time for some positive thoughts, some laughter, some time together. Because we are so busy.
Absolutely. I mean, Ayanla Van Zandt is one of my favorite authors. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Oprah brought her on board many years ago. And I have a book of 365 devotional or inspirational pages. And I've been reading that book for over 10 years because I just start over at the beginning when the year begins. And it's important to have those things too. And maybe a family member, you can put one of them in charge of just finding an inspirational thought. Mm-hmm. And then when you come back together in the evenings or if you're eating a meal together, that inspirational thought becomes part of your day.
Yes.
I have a bag that I use for certain occasions that is filled with 100 words And sometimes I just reach into that bag and pull out one of those words, and I say to myself, this is what my day will be about. And maybe that word is compassion.
Okay.
Or maybe that word is adventure or whatever. And it gives you that motivation for you then to have that touchstone during the day to manifest that word.
Yes, yes, yes. We also spoke about creating that space, because what you surround yourself with, this will have an impact on your day and your level of happiness during the day. So if in my office I have negative thoughts, this is what I will be feeding on all day. But if I'm surrounded with positive thoughts, if I make my office something warm and welcoming, when you come in, you feel welcome, you feel loved, you feel welcome. And working there all day, I feel welcome in my own space. I feel loved, I feel peace, I feel at home. Similarly, we could do this at home. Right? In our bedrooms,
in
our living
in our
rooms,
offices.
Little spaces. Yes, in offices, we spend so much time.
We do. And, you know, to make that different color combinations affect us.
Yes.
You have to remember that bringing a live plant into the office can affect us. There's just so many different things that we can do to upgrade our surroundings.
Mm-hmm.
One of the main things is to not allow toxic people into those surroundings as well. And this can be rough, because we have to learn to let go of some of the people in our life that may continuously be in a negative space.
Mm-hmm.
However, when we get to a certain point and we are continuously fostering a happy and positive mental attitude, those individuals that are really, really negative don't come around us anymore, because there's really not a match there.
Right.
You know, there's a different energy or a different vibe, mm-hmm. as they say. So when you have really good vibes and you feel safe and you feel open and you feel loved and loving, people will be attracted to that. Some will come in. I remember one day, and I was downtown, and one of the paros came up to me, and I always, with this particular paro, speak to them in a kind way, and in a way that I can engage them. And they put their arms around me and started kind of wiggling back and forth with me, saying, goody, 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 or something like that. And you know, at first I was a little taken aback, because obviously some of them are not the greatest
yes.
vibe. But I felt in that moment that something special had happened. And then after I was able to kind of tear them off of me and push them back, I said, you know, I have to go on now, because I'm in a rush today. But mm-hmm. thank you for your hug, and, you know, have a good day. So it's sometimes just those little brief moments that happen when we can make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And that allows us to feel happier as well, because we have touched the humanity of another person.
And he felt you were someone that touched something in him.
Yes.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't want to do that every day to every paro, but, you know, that was one situation that I felt was a turning point.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, when you are responsible for those moments in your life, then you don't end up blaming and criticizing other people, mm-hmm. because you are in charge of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And when something happens that takes you a little bit by surprise, you have to ask yourself, now what part did I play in this? Was I ignoring something 3 months ago? Did I just put this aside? Oh, yeah, I remember when so-and-so said that to me, and I said, oh, it'll be okay. And I just let it go. And really, at that moment, it was a wake-up call for me to say, I maybe need to take care of this now, because fast forward 3 months, here I am in this moment, and the same thing is coming to me again. So I need to pay attention to this.
So you're taking responsibility for your actions.
Absolutely.
And when you do, you will not react, but you'll make a positive decision about the situation.
Absolutely. There's a big difference between reacting to something and responding to something. When you react, and I see this happen a lot on Dominica, it has to do with feeling insecure and fearful, and so it's like an attack. when you react, you're like, I didn't do, no, what are you talking about? That is a reaction. Mm-hmm. When you respond, you can let that person have their moment without feeling attacked, and then you can say to them, that's very interesting. Why do you feel so strongly about that? Without taking it personally. Okay? Mm-hmm. There's four agreements that were written up by an author whose name is Raoul. I believe I'm pronouncing his last name properly. It's called The Four Agreements. Many individuals have read the book. And one of them is don't take anything personally, because oftentimes when someone has said something to you, it has a lot to do with where they are coming from, a lot of their insecurities. The second one is always do your best.
Always do your best.
That's all you can do. But you have to check with yourself, because you know when you're being sloppy. Mm-hmm. And you know, if everybody here on Dominica that works in customer service check themselves on a regular basis about doing their best, I think we would see a big shift in customer service, because we know that that is a weak area on Dominica. Third, be impeccable with your word. If you say something and you're going to be somewhere at a certain time, then be there. If something occurs and you can't be there, then you alert the individuals that are at the other end of that agreement so that they then can change their schedule. It's so simple to me, but it's such a very difficult thing mm-hmm. in a culture that is more laid back and doesn't have this impeccability with their word.
It's taking responsibility for what you do, how mm-hmm. you do it, what you say. Because if you give that sense of responsibility, being impeccable with your words, because you gave the assurance that you're going to be there at a certain time, it could avoid all confrontation or misunderstanding because the other person who is expecting you know what is going on. And, of course, the less stressed you are, the happier you are.
Absolutely. And the last one is don't assume anything.
Yeah.
So these are just four simple ones. And, you know, if you go into the scriptures, you can find those as well. If you look in any of what I call the philosophies and religions, you will find these in different words or in different terms. So sometimes it's just one or two that you want to work on for a while to make your life happier.
And you take them in stages, as you see, because mm-hmm. if it does not come naturally to you, you work on yourself.
Absolutely.
And because another thing, it is important to work on yourself, to be the best you before you try to engage someone else to make you happy.
Mm-hmm.
You make yourself happy first. So you work on your shortcomings. You do what it takes to make you happy. You work on your thoughts and your emotions and your self-esteem. Mm-hmm. And then you can make someone else happy, or someone else can compliment you.
You know, there was one point in my life where I was cleaning up a lot of dirty laundry that I had created. And I went to 15 different people and I told them the situation that I remember happening with them. And I asked them if they could forgive me. It was an incredibly healing experience. I just find these little things that I've decided mm-hmm. to do, or I've taken a workshop that has brought these up. And I've said, you know, I'm going to do that. One year I decided that every day of that year I would give something to someone. And I started out, of course, with my closest family for no reason. I would just find a little something to give them, whether it was a hug, whether it was a little something I saw on sale at a store, maybe cost $2. Maybe it was something I had made. Okay. Mm-hmm. But I decided for 365 days I would give 365 gifts unannounced to 365 different people. I did not repeat it. And boy, it was very interesting. I kept a list.
Because you were willing to do the work.
I was willing to do that. And it, at the end of that year, I was in such a different space because I gave for no reason. And it is in that giving that you receive the greatest gift.
Definitely, yeah. Definitely.
It was wonderful.
Quite fitting in this Jubilee of Mercy.
Mm.
Now, another area we have not touched on is managing stress.
Mm.
Life is what happens. And to you, while you're waiting to die, I always say that. Life is what happens while you're waiting to die. If you keep carrying around things that are weighing you down because you are taking in the negative energy and taking in things that may not be important, there are real situations. You may have a situation where someone is ill or you have real problems. However, managing the stress and how you deal with real and unreal problems is important.
It's very important because I've been through some great challenges in my life, loved ones who have died unexpectedly and also expectedly, as we all have those to confront. But what I realized in the process of this is that if I become so saddened and depressed and overwhelmed by those situations, then I'm really not helping myself or anyone else to go through those in a comfortable way. There's an uncomfortable and a comfortable way to go through those. Mm-hmm. So I remember when my partner died here on Dominica, and of course many of my patients saw how devastating that was, and several of them came up to me and said, "Oh, we're so sorry, you know, he shouldn't have died, and it's terrible." And I know that they were trying to make things better, but I also knew in my mind that he died. So to talk about he shouldn't have died didn't make sense to me. I mean, he
it's
died.
Not going to change the facts.
No, it's not. The reality was is that he died. And so then how you choose to handle it is up to you. And to put a lot of death vibes into the world didn't seem like a good way to create more happiness and more joy, which the world needs so much of. What is that song? What the world needs now is love, sweet love. Oh, yes. Well, we need it more than any time now because the world is in complete turmoil, as it has been most of the time of our lives. But I think we're in a great shift right now. I think we're in the midst of an evolutionary leap in consciousness.
Yes.
And that consciousness has to do with keeping those stress levels down by keeping our vibrations high.
Okay. So what is the best approach? Because sometimes really people really don't know. They'll come and they'll tell you he shouldn't have died. They just don't know what to see.
Of course.
Maybe not necessarily a death, but in any negative situation someone is facing, what is the correct approach to bring to that situation? Is it just offer a positive word or just let the person go through it in their own time and space?
Well, I think both of those are very important. And one of the things that I always say to those that are close to me is, I'm here for you. I'm here for you. Whatever you need, just let me know. Now, maybe I can't provide what they need because they want the person that has passed to be back with them on the earth. And, of course, I'm not anywhere qualified to do that. But I can just say, I'm here for you. Just, that's all. Just to be there with them. Sometimes not to even talk, just to be there.
And be there.
Just be there.
And not just say you are there, but be there when they want you.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And sometimes maybe you can't because of some other commitment. And then maybe you can shorten the commitment that you had to tell that person, I'll be there, you know, for not as long, but I'll be there. Just showing up is the greatest gift that you can give someone open heart.
So we need to have more positive impact. When
always
we reach out to people, be more positive
always
in what we say, in what we do. Just always give it a positive vibe.
Yes, and you know, some people don't know how to do that because they still have a lot of negativity in their life, a lot of toxic people. They don't make decisions well. And this, again, goes back to getting that nervous system working, because the moment that that nervous system starts working, so does everything else. So if someone is having a lot of emotional ups and downs, get them to a chiropractor, get them adjusted, and then continue on with whatever they're doing. Massages will be better. Counseling will be better. Your spiritual life will be better. Your lovemaking will be better. Your family relations will be better. When your nerves are working, I mean, that's the basic, that's it. The nerves run everything. That is one of the foundations. Mm-hmm. Okay? You really can't express a lot of joy if you've got a lot of nerves that are blocked in your body. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can live with misalignments and subluxations, but you can't live as well. And my whole mantra right now is, how can it get any better than this? Because I know it can. There is no ceiling on how much joy we can have and how much bliss and how much love we can have in our life. There's no ceiling on that. Mm-hmm. That's our minds that tell us.
Now, this brings us to the point that we know life is not a bed of roses. And it's not a fantasy. We can be happy. We can be positive.
You know, this thing, life isn't a bed of roses. You know, at one level, that's absolutely right, because we're here to learn things, and therefore mm-hmm. we have to go through over the speed bumps, and, you know, we have to go through our challenges. I always look at every negative situation as an opportunity. An opportunity. Doesn't feel real good when I'm going through it, but, you know, obviously grace is there to bless us.
Because see the good in every situation.
To the very best of your ability. Sometimes it's hard to find, you know, but it's there. So I've had several individuals say that I live in a fantasy world. And one of my friends put it quite nicely and said, perhaps it isn't the fantasy. Perhaps where you live is the fantasy, and where Dr. Taylor lives is the reality. Mm-hmm. Think about that one. That's a new thought, mm-hmm. isn't it? Yes.
Indeed.
So, you know, oftentimes it's just our thoughts. There's several very inspirational people that work with our thoughts. And one of them said, all suffering in the world is from thoughts that have not been questioned. Mm-hmm. All suffering. All bigotry, all racism, all of that are thoughts that have not been questioned. Mm-hmm. Because as we said earlier in our conversation, a child is born innocent. They have only two fears. They have no judgments. They learn all of that. Everything mm-hmm. else is learned behavior. And that's put into our brain. Mm-hmm. And then our life goes forward from these thoughts that we have. So I challenge individuals to take a look at your thoughts.
Mm-hmm. I've been reading this book, What You Say When You Speak to Yourself.
Mm.
So when we speak to ourselves, we have to speak positive thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and question ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember I was giving to some of the ministers and permanent secretaries a stress management workshop. And we talked about physical stress, we talked about mental stress, and we talked about spiritual stress for those who do not have a higher power in their life. And the area that everybody, you know, got a little hung up on was the emotional and mental stress, because that's worry, fear, anger, anxiety, doubt, you know, all of those things, okay? And those are here for us to learn. I mean, that's part of being human. We all have our dark side. We all have our light side. I just like the light side more to come out on people, okay? So we had several individuals doing a little paper and pencil routine, and I asked one individual if they would be courageous enough to volunteer what they wrote. And they said, people who do yoga are not Christians, because yoga is, you know, like this religious thing. Okay? That's what they wrote down. And then we took that apart. We took that thought apart to find out if that was true, that people who do yoga were not Christians because they were in a foreign venue and they were like in a religion. It was very interesting to see the thoughts around that particular statement and to analyze those and to come to a point where it turned out that this individual was making judgments about people who had a great deal of wisdom and learning experiences to share, but because that individual had the thought that people who do yoga were not Christians, that they were missing out on some amazing spiritual things.
So that might be a thought that was not questioned, a thought maybe
right.
in early years, younger.
Yes.
At a young age, but never questioned.
Never questioned never thought that out. Thought. It was very interesting. And I picked that one because, you know, there's been individuals that have misunderstood. And I even remember that there was a priest that said that people who do yoga are associating with the devil. Okay? Yeah, that came over Facebook, by the way, and I researched that.
I'm going to attempt to do a whole program on this one.
Oh,
on this one.
Yes.
So we could get a priest and get someone
absolutely.
To really thrash this out.
Yeah.
And we're going to do a whole program on this one.
Because these thoughts, you know, we fight wars over these thoughts that we hold on to. So,
but in the end, Dr. Taylor,
strongly.
What you're saying, the thoughts, the things we tell ourselves mm-hmm. day to day, the impact or happiness, they prevent us from laughing, mm-hmm. From being grateful. And mm-hmm. and for me, two of the simple ways that we can begin is being grateful
yes.
and finding joy in the simple things, mm-hmm. at least one thing a day. At least try to
yes.
have a good laugh a day.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And also forgiveness. That's a big one.
Yes.
I mean, we're all human. We all make errors of judgment. We all come with a certain thought process. And so when you forgive someone, that doesn't mean that you condone the action that has brought a great deal of hurt. But it means that you are able to look past that and see the goodness in that individual. And you do not continue to perpetuate the drama of that particular action.
And you forgive for yourself,
not
for
the
individual,
mm-hmm.
for yourself.
Yes.
I'm sure listeners remember we did a whole show on forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, all good things must come to an end.
Oh, so in order to do that, I just have a little Persian proverb that I like to remember in this whole pursuit mm-hmm. of happiness and positive. And here it is. He who knows not and knows not that he knows not is asleep. Let him slumber. He who knows not and knows that he knows not is awakening. Be a light unto his dawn. He who knows and knows not that he knows is awake. Teach him. And he who knows and knows that he knows is a wise man or a wise woman. Hark unto their word.
Wonderful. Proverbs 16:20, he that handles a matter wisely shall find good, and whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. So no matter what is going on in your life, no matter what you come across, if you handle it wisely, you shall find good. And if you find good, you'll find happiness.
Amen.
We've been talking with Dr. Janet Taylor, a doctor of chiropractic. Dr. Janet Taylor, and we've been talking about happiness, fostering a positive mental attitude, taking responsibility for what one thinks, says, and does. I'm sure there are many other areas we could focus on during this program we could look into, but Dr. Taylor has assured us it's not the last time. We'll see her again. We'll have her on again. We'll hear again. And we thank you for joining us. Do join us again on Thursday for another interesting program, the Nazarene Gordon Radio Show, Let's Live. It's a program to encourage you to love, to have hope, to trust, to be at peace, to have joy, to be inspired, to be free, to be kind, and to live.